Broncos cheerleaders, and you're listening to Sports Crunch with D-Crom.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening, wherever or whenever you captain kittens are. This is Sports Crunch with D-Crom. I'm your host, David Cromelo. Well, the first big wave of NFL free agency has come to a close, and that means the focus immediately shifts back to the 2023 NFL draft, which is now less than 40 days away. And in that case, we continue our position-by-position breakdown of the prospects in this draft class. And today, we zero in on the wide receiver class with the help of our good friend, Brian Bosarch from the Draft Countdown. Brian, it's great to have you here yet again, man. How are you?
David, I'm doing great. Like you said, free agency is it's pretty much over with, if we're going to be honest. Outside of maybe a couple big fish, everything is done. So now we are truly in the final countdown to the draft.
Oh, you said it, man. And as of right now, we are 37 nights away and counting. And now on to the wide receivers. When it comes to the wide receiver group in this 2023 NFL draft, it is a very underwhelming crop. Not only is there no Ja'Marr Chase-level prospect among them, there isn't even a prospect you could safely say is on the level that Garrett Wilson and Chris Olave were heading into last year's draft. However, if you take a deeper look into this class, one can argue that if you need a receiver who can fill a niche role in an offense, such as taking the top off of the defense or a reliable move the chains target, this draft has some very, very solid options. Wouldn't you say so?
I would agree, but I think we have there is also maybe one to two guys who I think could emerge as top end guys in this class. But yes, you are correct when you say there's a lot of niche roles on here.
Definitely. And in that case, let's talk about one of those top two receivers that I believe you are alluding to. As of right now, the top wide receiver and the ninth overall player on your draft board is Quentin Johnston of TCU. While there's quite a bit to like about Quentin Johnston, two major red flags stick out to me. First, his propensity for drops. And second, the hit rate of Big 12 wide receivers drafted in the first round is not good, as Daniel Jeremiah noted. And that is in large part due to the wide open spread offenses they play in the Big 12 that the subpar secondaries they constantly face. But why do you think Quentin Johnston has a very good chance to buck this trend?
Well, first of all, I don't really go into the whole just because he plays in the Big 12 or plays for a certain school deal that he can't be a great NFL player. I'm more of scout the player, not the helmet or conference in this case. But yes, it is correct. And like maybe Quentin Johnston right now doesn't have the full route tree in his repertoire. But if you look at the tape, he gives you signs that he can get it pretty quick. And I've said in, you know, a few write-ups, I don't think he is – I'm not going to compare him to a Hall of Famer, maybe second best receiver of all time here, but I think there's a lot of collegiate qualities that you saw from Randy Moss coming out of Marshall that you can see with Quentin Johnston's game in the open field, the athleticism, the long, lanky, rangy type guy who's got – I think the speed's going to be pretty close – as well. I think Quentin Johnston is wide receiver one in this class. I think he has the highest potential of the wide receivers in this class. Maybe he's not a finished product just yet, though.
Oh, you bring up an excellent, excellent, excellent point there, Brian. Scout the player, not the helmet. And that's exactly what you have done with Quentin Johnston. And I believe there's going to be at least one NFL team that agrees with you about Quentin Johnston. And he could very well be a top 20 pick in this draft. And last summer, the consensus top wide receiver on way too early big boards was Ohio State's Jackson Smith and Jigba, especially given his performance against Utah in the 2022 Rose Bowl, where he caught 50 passes for 347 yards and three touchdowns from none other than C.J. Stroud, who could very well be the number one overall pick of this draft. However, Jackson Smith and Jigba barely played due to a hamstring injury this past season, and his straight line speed is presumably very, very slow. But nonetheless, many rave about his route running, which is one of the top two traits you look for in a wide receiver, and his three-cone time at the combine perfectly reflected his short area quickness. Do you think there are plenty of good reasons to think that a healthy Jackson Smith-Njigba has the highest floor out of any wide receiver in this draft?
It's very, very, very possible. If you watch JSN from last year, the 2021 tape, and let's say he puts together a similar season in 2022 without the injuries, I think we're very well talking about him as the undisputed wide receiver one in this class, like he was projected to be. You mentioned his route running, absolutely tremendous. He catches everything thrown his way. He makes the difficult catches look easy. He's not going to be a straight line speed guy. He's not going to have that. But I think as far as a route technician goes, he's probably one of the best in this class, along with a couple of others we're probably going to talk about a little bit later. I think Jaxon Smith-Njigba could be probably the high – he could be the top wide receiver drafted in this class. Would not shock me at all if that falls this way. I don't know where I would have him compared to his Buckeye teammates from last year. I wish I could do a historical, like, I don't have really have a way to track this, how I would have him stacked against Olave and Garrett Wilson from a year ago. But Jaxon Smith-Njigba was going to be great, I think, in the NFL and a day one starter.
Definitely, man. Ohio State is the new wide receiver U. Brian Hartline coaches those guys up very well. As you mentioned, we had Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson last year. JS said this year, and perhaps the best one of them all, Marvin Harrison Jr., coming out next spring in 2024. So JS said, part of a proud wide receiver lineage down there in Columbus. And another interesting thing I observed when looking at your current draft board, Brian, is that you have Tennessee wide receiver Cedric Tillman ranked higher than his far more ballyhooed Vol teammate Jalen Hyatt, who, FYI, happens to be the top-ranked wide receiver on Lance Zierlein's board currently. Why do you have a better grade on Cedric Tillman than Jalen Hyatt?
When I watch Cedric Tillman, again, he's another one like Jaxon Smith-Njigba where you have to really go back to 2021 tape to get the full picture because he was also injured a lot in 2022 and didn't play. And that's what allowed Jalen Hyatt to sort of steal the spotlight, if you will. But two things I like about Cedric Tillman is, to me, you see he's a big body wide receiver, but he can also run good routes, catches a lot of balls, can do the 50-50 balls easily. And he's got a wide catch radius. And his speed was, you know, better than I thought it was. To me, he's very comparable to Cincinnati Bengals wide receiver T. Higgins. I think the tape is very similar to how they're going to win. And you could argue T. Higgins is a top 15 receiver in the NFL right now. So I think you're going to could get a similar player at a similar spot in the draft early in the second round with Tillman as you would T. Higgins. Reason I have him higher than Jalen Hyatt, and it's only two spots higher, but Hyatt, to me, I don't want to call him a one-trick pony, but he's really – his best trick is the deep ball, and he's got deep speed, but you don't see him running a lot of the routes that you would that you see Tillman run on his 2021 tape. And really, he put up a lot of his numbers this year in the Alabama game, and that's the game that everybody's going to go to. But Alabama was overmatched in that because they tried to cover him with safety DeMarco Helms most of the game, didn't really work out, and Tennessee ends up getting the upset win. So – that's why I favor Tillman more than Hyatt, but I think both will have success in the NFL.
Oh, that is a very good rationale for putting a higher grade on Cedric Tillman than Jalen Hyatt, even though both are going to be drafted very high in April. And when we spoke earlier today, you mentioned that you have a sleeper wide receiver prospect on your mind that isn't getting the attention he deserves. Who is that prospect, and why do you love him so much?
That prospect is Jason Brownlee from Southern Miss. He got a combine invite, but I've been a big fan of Brownlee's because I was writing a Sun Belt scouting column because I'm in the Sun Belt area. There's three Sun Belt schools within a two hour drive from where I live, so I'm very into that conference. And Jason Brownlee, to me, he was a number one wide receiver for Southern Miss. He's got decent speed, not great, but he's a route technician, great hands. And probably Daryl Luter, the corner for South Alabama, going to be probably a third-round pick. He's the only guy that really got to Luter over the last 2 years. And he's got some breakaway, like I said, he got breakaway speed. To me, he's just not getting enough attention. I think he's probably, if you looked at consensus rankings, he's probably in the wide receiver 30 to 40 on a lot of boards. I've got him at wide receiver 20 on mine. I think I've got a mid fifth round grade for him, but I think he makes an NFL impact. The only thing I don't know is how much of a special teams player he is. I don't know how much he did that at Southern Miss, and that might actually affect where he gets drafted, because once you get into these day three wide receivers, that's kind of what these teams are looking at. Okay, it is he good? He can be our wide receiver four if he's also, you know, going to play on our special teams units. And that's a big question I have with Brownlee. But as far as wide receiver goes, I love him. And I think he's, you know, can make an NFL impact.
Thank you so much for that in-depth scouting report, Brian. Jason Brownlee, Southern Miss. I'll definitely keep his name in mind. And he is Brian Bosarge, ladies and gentlemen. Catch his work at draftcountdown.com and follow him on Twitter at Deep Fry Draft for further commentary. Brian, thank you so, so much once again for joining us. But before we let you go here, let's play a little game called Buy or Sell. And in this game, I'll mention the name of a wide receiver prospect that we have not talked about yet. And you let me know whether you buy or sell him having long-term success in the NFL, starting with a guy that's widely mocked to the Houston Texans at 12 overall, USC's Jordan Addison. Buy or sell?
I'm going to buy Jordan Addison as a day one slot receiver that's going to be an instant impact. I think 12 is a little bit rich for me. I don't know if he's got the athleticism that I would want to draft high, but later in the second and the first round, I would buy Addison in that spot. I think he's going to be a high volume pass catcher and the NFL, as he was at Pitt, as he was at Southern Cal.
And moving right along here, another guy who's seen his stock rise in the past couple of months because of the All-Star circuit, Boston College's Zay Flowers. Buy or sell?
I'll buy Zay Flowers for the exact same reason what I just said, Jordan Addison. He's just a little bit, you know, shorter than Addison, but a tremendous route runner, going to be a tremendous slot receiver, I think, can make plays deep down the field as well. He's another guy that I think is going to come off the board in the late 20s, maybe early part of the second round. One of two guys that the Senior Bowl didn't get that they wanted, along with Luke Schoonmaker, the tight end from Michigan that ended up going to the Shrine Game. So he's definitely going to be, I believe, the highest Shrine Bowl player selected.
Absolutely. And a guy that Dane Brugler of The Athletic really, really loves at last check. He had this guy at 47 overall on his board. Cincinnati's Tyler Scott. He has some eerily similar combine numbers to Tyler Lockett. They ran similar 40 times, and he's more athletic than Tyler Lockett in some ways, especially in the vertical jump and broad jump. Buy or sell Tyler Scott?
I'm going to sell Tyler Scott for where I think he's going to get drafted. I think he's going to end up going that mid-second round, and that's a bit too rich for me. He's currently like wide receiver 12 for me on my board, a little bit lower on Scott. I thought he would be a faster timer than what he did at the combine, and his tape is, you know, 2-3 big plays and then a whole lot of wait and see. So I think he's going to probably be drafted in the mid-second round. That's a bit too rich for me, so I'm going to sell Tyler Scott.
Very good point there. And a favorite target of Drake May, who is going to be a top quarterback prospect in 2024, Josh Downs of North Carolina. Buy or sell Josh Downs?
I'm going to buy Josh Downs because I think he's going to go about in the spot that he should go in the spot that I think Tyler Scott's going to. I think Scott's going to end up inevitably being drafted higher than him, but I think Downs is a better player of a similar skill set. And I think we'll definitely see next year, because I think Drake may struggle a little bit without Downs and without Antoine Green, a guy who's going to go later in the draft. But Downs, I think, is a good route runner and makes plays in the red zone that you don't normally see a 5'10", 175-pound player make.
Oh, absolutely. And you definitely have to keep a close eye on prospects like Josh Downs, because as the say goes, it's not about the size of the dog in the fight. It's about the size of the fight in the dog. And Josh Downs definitely has a lot of fight for a guy of that size. And if you want a wide receiver that can take the top off of defense, Oklahoma's Marvin Mims. Buy or sell Marvin Mims?
I'll buy Marvin Mims because I think he's going to be in that third round range. And I think he's not getting a lot of run right now, but he's going to be a potential slot, can also play on the outside, can get the ball downfield deep as well. And I think he's going to be a high volume guy as a rookie. Depending on where he lands, could be wide receiver 3 for a team, depending on where he goes, could end up being a wide receiver 4. But I think Mims is going to eventually, maybe in year 2, be a high-end starter for a team. And he's really fast and tested great, tested better than what I think a lot of people thought. Didn't get the targets that he got this past year because Oklahoma was in a massive changeover there. But I think he's going to probably be – show more as a rookie than what he did as his third year at Oklahoma.
Oh, absolutely. Had Lincoln Riley stayed in Oklahoma, I think Mims would have been a higher draft pick than he's currently being projected as, don't you?
I agree.
And you mentioned Cedric Tillman being a discounted version of T. Higgins, and I mean that as a compliment. And if Cedric Tillman is a discount version of T. Higgins of the Bengals, then this guy could be a discount version of Cedric Tillman on day three. I'm talking about A.T. Perry of Wake Forest. Buy or sell A.T. Perry.
I'm going to buy A.T. Perry because I think he's going to end up going in that early fourth round. I think a team like the Colts, who's looking to maybe add an extra wide receiver down the road for whoever their quarterback's going to be. Perry was a big play wide receiver for Wake Forest, catching balls from their quarterback, that Sam Hartman, that's now at Notre Dame. Long speed was the question with him. Then he goes and runs a 40 in the mid 4.4s. At the combine, kind of answered that question. So I'm going to buy A.T. Perry because I think, like I said, early day three pick with a chance to get a lot of playing time as a rook.
And moving right along here, a guy that you and I both saw at the Senior Bowl, Tank Dell out of Houston. Buy or sell Tank Dell?
Selling on Tank Dell as a wide receiver, buying as a special teams player as a rookie. Some of the stuff, the separation he was doing at the Senior Bowl, you know, it's all great and all good in those one-on-ones, but then you remember Andy Isabella out of UMass did the same thing in those one-on-ones down there and didn't really work out there either. I think Dell, I mean, he's a solid wide receiver, could be end up being a great slot. I don't know, but as a special teams player, I think he's going to be great as a punt returner, one of the best in this draft class. Sell as a wide receiver, buy as a return man.
Jonathan Mingo of Ole Miss, buy or sell? If you want somebody who could block as a wide receiver, and those receivers are in vogue these days, Mingo could be your guy on day three.
Yeah, Jonathan Mingo, I'm going to buy there as well. A big physical, like you said, tremendous blocker. Solid in the receiving and the passing game as well, and tested really great. One of the better testing wide receivers at the combine this year. I'm going to buy Mingo, probably going to go in that fourth round area.
And another unheralded wide receiver you is SMU. They gave us Emmanuel Sanders. They gave us Cortland Sutton. James Proche has carved out a healthy role for himself with the Baltimore Ravens. And this year, they give us Rashee Rice. Buy or sell Rashee Rice?
Sell Rice. A little disappointed in his Senior Bowl performance. He had a couple of big plays, but other than that, he was kind of like out of sight, out of mind for the most part. And like I said, maybe it's just bias on my part from only the Senior Bowl, and maybe his game tape probably better than what I'm going to say here. But I don't know where he comes off the board, if it's third round, second round, whatever. But I think that's, you know, he could end up being a solid player. I'm selling on Rice.
And the wide receiver who had the fastest 40 time at the combine, Trey Palmer of Nebraska. Buy or sell Trey Palmer as a take the top off of a defense, a threat for an offense?
I'm going to buy him. When I talked about Jason Brownlee earlier and I said special teams, you know, I don't know what his value is there. I know what Trey Palmer's value is going to be on special teams. He's going to be one of the best gunners in this draft class. Right out of the gate. And that's going to get him on the 53. That's going to have him active every game day on the 45. And as a wide receiver four for a team with that kind of speed, and you get him on, and every special teams coach is going to love him. I'm going to buy Trey Palmer as a wide receiver four on a team, probably fourth, fifth round guy and special teams ace right out of the gate.
And this guy was talked about as the potential wide receiver one off the board as of last summer. But now there's a question as to whether this guy will even get drafted. LSU's Kayshon Boutte. Buy or sell Kayshon Boutte?
I'm going to sell Kayshon Boutte. He's had one of the worst draft processes out there. If you go from the beginning of this season where he was basically non-existent this year for LSU and then goes to the combine and runs – poor there, tests poorly, 29-inch vertical leaps, horrible. I don't know what happened there. And he's a guy I know hasn't played any special teams at LSU. And that's where he's going to have to, you know, show that where he's going to come off the board. Kayshon Boutte could go from potential top 10 pick to undrafted at this point. We could be talking about him. So sell Kayshon Boutte.
And this guy, I believe Pro Football Focus has them among their top 70 prospects at the moment. Michael Wilson of Stanford. Buy or sell Michael Wilson?
I'm going to buy Michael Wilson. I'm not buying him as a 70th overall player, but I'm going to buy Michael Wilson as probably a fourth-round pick. Guy wasn't even on my radar until the Senior Bowl, and then he showed the ability to separate, great hitch radius, and he was good, and he got better every day all week from Tuesday until the game on Saturday, continued to make plays. I think he went from undrafted player to mid to early fourth round with his Senior Bowl week, especially because he wasn't really productive this year at Stanford because of some injuries. Actually, he's been injured for most of his Stanford career and played with some crappy quarterback play, if we're going to be honest. And I don't know if y'all talked about him in your quarterback show, but Tanner McKee ain't it.
Yeah.
And and he had to overcome that when he was actually on the field. So I'm going to buy Michael Wilson.
And if a team wants to truly bet on traits for a wide receiver, this guy has traits in spades. Andre Yosivas of Princeton, buy or sell?
World-class athlete on world-class speed and track. They're coming out of high school in Hawaii, ends up all the way at Princeton, and then very productive there in the Ivy League, and then comes to the Senior Bowl, has a good week there, and then ends up at the Combine being one of the best testers there. So great process for Andre Yosivas. And I think he's going to end up in that third round area and with a chance to contribute early by Yosivas.
One of the standout wide receivers at the Senior Bowl was Jaden Reed of Michigan State. Do you buy or sell Jaden Reed?
Similar to Michael Wilson, a guy I wasn't, you know, as high on or known before the Senior Bowl, and had a similar impact there. Great separator, great speed, one of the fastest guys on the GPS testing there at the Senior Bowl, and then tested well at the Combine. I think he's also going to come off in that early to mid fourth round area, and I think Jaden Reed's a guy I would buy in that spot.
And last but not least for buy or sell, this guy also turned heads down in Mobile at the Senior Bowl, Puka Nacua of BYU. Buy or sell Puka Nacua?
One of the best players on day one of the Senior Bowl practice. Wish we'd have got to see more of him. Got injured on that first day, so was out the rest of the week. He's going to be a tremendous gadget player, I think, in the NFL. He could be a bigger version of Deebo Samuel the way he was used, because BYU used him in similar that manner, lined him up in the backfield, a lot of reverses to him. A lot of just getting him the ball on screens, just getting the ball in his hands and letting him make plays. And I think a good offensive coordinator is going to see that on his tape and bring him into a camp and work that into their game plan each week, maybe three or four touches a week just to get the ball in his hands.
Brian Bosarge, ladies and gentlemen, draftcountdown.com. Follow him on Twitter at Deep Fry Draft. Thank you once again, Brian. And that's it for today here on Sports Crunch. But we'll be back in just a few days with more of our 2023 Dash of the Draft series as my man Nick Kendall of Mile High Huddle joins us to break down this year's historic, and I mean historic, tight end class. So stay tuned. Also, be sure to follow me on Twitter at DCrom59, on Instagram and now TikTok at Sports Crunch with DCrom. And remember, that's Crunch with a K. For Brian Bosarge, this is David Cromwell saying so long, and whatever you do, please choose love, please choose kindness, please choose compassion, please choose selflessness, and please choose empathy, which are the core characteristics of the best teammates and teams in all sports. Until next time, cats and kittens, stay cool.